Welcome to the Six Ways from Sunday podcast. This is a show where Robin and I sit down once a week over a cup of coffee, and we just dive into various discussions about faith, where we're exploring the way that we live, think, love, and act in the world. And we're trying to build an online community with these conversations and through Robin's blogs and the sermon videos that we post on the risingspiritministry.com website once a week. We also are streaming live from either Ponoka or Basha, our church services at 10:30 a.m. Alberta time, every Sunday except this Sunday coming up. It's kind of an unusual Sunday where the Ponoka United Church is going to be having their Sunday picnic. We just had our Basha United Church picnic this last Sunday. So it's summer. The schedule is a little bit different because it's summer. But the way that this weekly podcast usually works is Robin and I sit down early in the week. We start discussing something that relates to what he's going to be speaking about in church the next coming Sunday. And then later in the week, Robin also writes a weekly blog that you should definitely check out. And you can find the link to that at risingspiritministry.com as well. And so this coming Sunday, I'm not sure what's in the lectionary in terms of scripture readings, but that's usually where Robin and I start our conversations, as we look at what's coming up in the lectionary and use that as kind of a jumping off point for a conversation starter. Welcome to the podcast again, Robin. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. And I'm really curious, with this Sunday coming up being a little bit unusual, with it being a picnic Sunday in Ponoka, what should we talk about this week, or what's in the lectionary that you would have been tying into your sermon on Sunday if there was going to be one?
It's chaos, Ben. Chaos. It's funny that your introduction is really kind of interesting, because it points out a really important thing that we need structure, right? We need organization and structure to know, like we got days of the week, we got what we do on certain days. The lectionary tells us what scripture readings that we should all be using on a Sunday morning, and if you don't do that, then it's chaos, Ben. It's just there's good things about that, and there's bad things about that, and oddly enough, one of the scripture readings this Sunday from the Gospel of Mark is about chaos.
Really?
In a sense. It's a story of, it's a continuing story in Mark of Jesus' ministry, right? And this is a point at which Jesus has decided he needs to go to the other side of the lake, and they all hop in a boat. They get out on the lake, and a storm comes up in the middle of the night. Disciples are all terrified. And Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat.
Right.
And so they go and wake him up, because, obviously he doesn't care. And Jesus immediately goes, "What are you guys afraid of?" Calms the waves, there's stillness. They get to the other side just fine. And, of course, Jesus challenges their faith that they didn't believe everything was going to be just fine. There's so much in this story that's really interesting. It's almost a shame to reduce it to Jesus does a miracle.
Mm.
That the miracle is Jesus has power over nature.
Right.
Right.
But that's
it's almost
the way we've
shame.
Always, that's the way we've all learned.
Oh,
that,
yeah. It's,
that
it's
story
a sign
is,
of the story is a sign
look
of first
the,
of all,
the power of the Almighty God and his son Jesus is able to even calm the waves of the storm.
Yeah.
Period.
Right. So first off, we got Jesus is powerful. This is a sign of Jesus' power. And secondly, it's also a sign of the fact that the disciples are still fragile human beings who don't believe.
Yeah.
That's not fair, though. I mean, that's not fair. They do have faith, in a sense. They do have faith. It's not in a sense. They do have faith. But it's an innocent, if you like, faith. But what's interesting about the story, there's so many things that are interesting about the story. First of all, why did Jesus need to get to the other side? Why did Jesus cross the lake to get to the other side? Especially because he was going from, they were going from the side of the lake, assuming this is Galilee, right? They're I think I have the right lake. Anyway, assuming they're crossing the lake because they're going from the side that's all Jewish to mm-hmm. the side that's all Gentile. And so there's an interesting part of the story right there. It's also interesting, why is Jesus so desperate to get to the other side of the lake that they have to cross at night?
Right. It's not.
Why didn't they wait till the morning?
Or is it that it was such a great distance that it was going to take them a long...
Nah.
It's not that big of a lake, is it?
Nah, I think he was just in a hurry to get to the other side. Fair enough.
Or were they sneaking across at night?
Besides which, ostensibly, and the disciples, some of them are fishermen, right? They're professional sailors.
Right.
Right? You'd think they'd have no trouble. Which is another thing that's interesting about the story, which is that this must have been one heck of a storm to worry professional sailors.
That is a really good point. Right?
You'd think they would know what they're doing. And actually, you'd think knowing what they were doing, they would have said to Jesus, you know, the weather's not looking great, Jesus, let's stay on this side of the lake and not cross. There's so many things that you could question in this story. But they get out on the lake, the storm comes up, and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. Like, he doesn't seem to... We usually say he doesn't seem to care. In fact, the challenge of the disciples is that he doesn't seem to care. But is it that he doesn't seem to care, or he's just not worried about it?
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, the story is a great story, and it's a great story that we've traditionally told as Jesus does an amazing miracle. And the disciples, not only does it challenge their faith, but also, of course, Jesus does the amazing super miracle. And at the end of the story, the disciples all turn to each other and go, who is this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is this guy that he's able to do this powerful stuff? Which could immediately make you think, you guys have been following him around for a while now. How the hell do you not know?
I was just going to say, but surely this has come up in conversation already.
Yeah. But again, like it's one of those moments where, and I know I debate back and forth about miracle stories, right? Is it a miracle as in the power of God commands something to happen and something happens, as it says in the story, literally? Or is the miracle things like Jesus empowered others to behave in a certain way or to make a significant change, right? The story of the 5,000, right? Feeding the 5,000, it's a classic example I always use. Did Jesus actually take loaves and fishes and feed that many people? Or did the act of generosity simply inspire people to want to share? And I just said simply, but that's not as simple as it sounds. And that in itself is a huge miracle to make mm-hmm. that many people want mm-hmm. to share what they have. There's nothing wrong with that kind of a miracle either. So when you hear this story, is a miracle that Jesus was incredibly powerful and had power and control over nature and was able to do that? Or is this a metaphor? Because here's the thing. Particularly if you're somebody who's involved with the United Church of Canada right now, we're on the sea and the storm is a raging.
Mm.
And we're trying to get to the other side. In fact, one of the metaphors for some of the changes that began in the United Church over the last little while was the story of fishing from the other side, right? And so we are where we were, and we are crossing to a new place. And there is chaos and stormy weather, mm-hmm. as it were, on the way across to the other side. And just as I'm saying those words, this is just so incredibly ridiculous. But this is how incredibly ridiculous the chaos of the world is right now. As the moment I am saying the words, there is stormy weather, what pops into my head is, of course, Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels, right? That Stephen Colbert, I think it's Stephen Colbert, does a really funny bit about Stormy Watch, or maybe it's Seth Meyers. It's one of the late night guys.
Yeah.
Does a really funny bit around the stormy weather watch kind of a thing and everything. But see, that's the thing, is that like the world is so, there's so much stuff happening in the world right now. Like it's the weather is literally stormy. There's so much stuff that, you know, you look south of the border and there's so much stuff happening that's so horrifying in terms of how people are being treated
mm-hmm.
and how people are behaving. And it's not just there, it's here, it's everywhere, that just when you think you're having some success with things, things change and craziness ensues. And so the question then becomes, what of this story? Is this simply then a story of reminding us that as the chaos ensues, God is with us, right? Which is nice and comforting and warm and fuzzy. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. And it is. I'm not meaning to belittle that. It's just that that's nice and comforting, but it accomplishes nothing other than being nice and comforting.
Yeah, there's a layer of truth there, but yeah. There's also more.
Yeah, there's more to that. And the more to that is that, see, in the part of the story where it says Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, I don't think Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat because he didn't care. I think Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat because they had every confidence of getting to the other mm-hmm. side. Mm-hmm. No doubt whatsoever, whatever happened, he was getting to the other side.
Yeah. He also may have been just confident in the abilities of his disciples. Like you said, these guys have been born and raised on the sea or on the lake and been out on boats fishing their entire lives.
Yeah, at least half of them anyway.
Yeah. So why wouldn't he have been calm knowing that he was in good hands, that they knew what they were doing?
Yeah, that's an interesting take on this, that Jesus had more confidence in the people that he was with than the people themselves did, mm-hmm. right? Which is, that's classic, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like Jesus, like God, has more confidence in us than we have in ourselves.
Absolutely.
Right? Similar to how we have confidence in other people, even though we might not have confidence in ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. That's a really good point, is that maybe Jesus was confident in the abilities of the disciples. Could also be, though, that, first of all, it could also be that Jesus had every confidence of getting to the other side because no matter what happens, he knew he was going to get to the other side. And that's something that we can always wonder about, right? Mm-hmm. Is, are we going to get through this? We're always, are we going to get through this? And then how we get through it colors our perception of where we got to, right? As to whether or not we did get through it or we simply arrived somewhere else.
Right.
And that's an interesting part of the story too, is because it's almost like once Jesus stills the waters, right? And calms the storm and everything, it's almost like the disciples are now more afraid that Jesus is so powerful, right? They get all nervous at the end of the story and they're like, who is this that he has this power and everything? Yeah. And it's almost like they were thinking, hey, it would have been better to go down with the ship than be stuck with this guy who seems to be incredibly powerful. What's he going to do next? Kind of thing. So a lot of this story, I think a lot of the story is about fear. I think it's a lot around what things we fear, first mm-hmm. of all. How we fear, I'm going to say, instead of saying chaos, I'd like to say lack of clear organizational structure. Because we like our structure. We do. Mm-hmm. We don't really like chaos. We like structure. And the thing about liking structure is that, of course, you can like structure to the point where it's manipulative and controlling, and keeps you in place. Or you can like just enough structure to allow you the freedom to be creative and mm-hmm. expand and do your thing, right? And finding the right balance of structure with freedom and everything is a tricky business. It's literally the number one thing that Jesus says anywhere in the Gospels. Don't be afraid.
Fear not.
Yeah, fear not. The angel says it to the shepherds, right?
Yeah.
The angel says it to Mary. Don't be afraid. I have good news, right?
Yeah.
And that was news that would make anybody afraid.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not just at your age, you're now pregnant, but who told you? Well, funny story. So there's lots of stuff. There's lots of stuff in life to be afraid of. And we constantly hear Jesus saying, don't be afraid. To the point where I'm sure at some point, I know this story's not in the Bible, but somewhere in there, one of the disciples must have said to Jesus, stop saying that. Because it's so easy for you to say it, and it's so hard for us to, like, we can't not be afraid.
Yeah. Look at what was going on at the time.
Yeah.
They were under oppression.
Yeah.
They were an occupied nation, and living conditions and quality of life were not.
Hey, there's lots of places, you're describing lots of places in the world
today,
right now.
Absolutely. Right?
And there's even people who kind of feel like even some of the more modernized Western countries that are supposed to be democracies, they're actually suffering under a little bit of oppression and, you know, dictatorial rule and that kind of thing now, right? And so people are nervous about lots of things. People are afraid mm-hmm. for the future. They're not really sure what's going to be. Well, on the other side of tomorrow, right?
That's
or
right.
even on the other side of this moment right now.
Structure often is presented as a solution to chaos and to alleviate our fears. So mm-hmm. don't be afraid. We have a plan. Don't be afraid. There's this structure in place. There's mm-hmm. we have democratic processes to ensure responsible governance. We have police. We have a justice system. We have we have all these structures and things that we've created in our society because there's so many things to be afraid of.
Right.
But then, like you're saying, at a certain point, that structure that we have created can become the thing that many of us are fearing because it becomes oppressive or it becomes dysfunctional.
See, I think the point of this story is exactly the opposite of don't worry, we have a plan. I think it's exactly the opposite of that. I think this is, work with me here for a second. The storm is a metaphor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a metaphor for life. And this is a moment at which I think Jesus is trying to say, here's what I mean when I say don't be afraid. What I mean is, it's not like there isn't stuff that you should fear. I'm not saying there isn't. What I'm saying is that you can face that fear if you are not afraid, you, within you, are not afraid. In other words, calm the storm that's inside you, and you can deal with what's going on around you.
Even though it's scary.
Even though it's scary. And there was a wonderful, I can't think of who said this now, but there was a wonderful thing that somebody said a little while back. We had Peace Sunday. And I was reading somebody's blog where they were quoting somebody else. That's why, you know, I'm like fifth hand here, so I can't remember who actually said it. But it was something along the lines of, peace, well, all around you, well, everything around you is raging. Peace within you is the important peace because it's the peace that helps you deal with what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
Having peace around you doesn't guarantee peace.
Right.
What guarantees peace is the peace within you that enables you to be able to deal with the rage that's around you. Right?
Yeah.
And I think this is what this storm story is about. I think it's about reminding the disciples that it's not about not being afraid. It's about understanding that it's not about that there isn't things to be afraid of. It's about understanding that when Jesus says, don't be afraid, what he means is you within you, don't be afraid to face these things that you fear, because first of all, God is with you. And secondly, if you face them with calm, right?
Mm-hmm.
With peace within you, you can face them. It's only when we actually allow the fear to get in us that we can't deal with it, right? And then whatever happens, you're still going to get to the other side. That's the bit about Jesus being asleep in the back of the boat, right? Jesus knows he's going to get to the other side. Why? Because Jesus understands that peace is something that is within you. He understands that faith is something that is within you. He understands that the power to face your fears is what's within you, not what's on the outside.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that's the calming of the storm. For me, I mean, if this is a miracle story for you and the miracle is the power of God at work through Jesus, that Jesus has the power to control nature and creation, that's fine. That's awesome. It's a great miracle story.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I would say, yes, I can get on board with that because to me, it shows the way in which Jesus demonstrates for us that we are all a part of creation. And the manner in which we engage creation, and then I'm coming back to the peace within you thing,
mm-hmm.
the manner in which we engage creation. Because here's a different way maybe of hearing this story. It's not that Jesus calms the storm. It's that Jesus calms the storm within the disciples, who then, being great fishermen, are able to sail to through the storm to the other side of the lake.
Well, I think there's something to be said for the fact that fear or feeling calm is a very relative and personal thing. Mm-hmm. So if you're someone who has social anxiety disorder and you're surrounded by a lot of activity and a really hectic environment, you might tell you that to one person that might feel terrifying, whereas the next person beside them is having a great time and totally comfortable, and their heart rate is, you know, like their blood pressure hasn't risen a tiny little bit, because they're just, it's so individual and so relative. But yeah, I really like, I think bringing your own calm into the storm that's around you in the world is a contagious thing too, that you can have a calming presence on the people around you just by not being worked up or not being stressed or not being afraid. And then other people sense that energy, right? That it kind of rubs off on. I mean, even as I often do this, but I think about my relationship with my kids, right? So something happens that's out of the ordinary, and what the first thing that young children do is they look at mom and dad. Are you guys freaked out? Are you guys worried? Oh, no, mom and dad don't seem to be too worried. The first time that you drive through hail and you hear the hail pounding on the roof of the vehicle, the first thing that the kids do is they look at mom and dad to see if they should freak out. Because if mom and dad are freaking out, then they're going to be pretty worried. If mom and dad are still smiling and pretty calm, then they know that, oh, okay, this must be normal. This must be okay. So we look to each other and we impact each other's sense of whether or not we should be afraid. And so having that, cultivating that calmness, calming that inner storm, it's great for yourself, but it also affects everybody around you.
Can I tweak that just a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think the thing is not to see that. I think the important thing is it's not so much that it's normal. It's not. It's what needs to be seen is how you address it, right? And if you address it without fear, right? And that's just it's a subtle little tweak, but I'd hate for anybody to think that chaos is normal. Wait, actually, kind of okay.
I earlier said
you know, we're living in chaos, right? But it's not about the normalcy of it. It's about and I think this is why we keep hearing, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, throughout the Gospels, is that we need to be constantly reminded, because we constantly fall back on, we're easily afraid. We're easily afraid of, even to the point of, like, at the end of the story, there's an implication at the end of the story that the disciples are afraid of Jesus now, right? Because he turns out to be so powerful he can control nature. I mean, they've seen him cast out demons. He's healed people and everything. And that's probably freaked him out already. But he's done it enough. And now they're thinking, okay, this is cool. He can do that. That's awesome. And in this story, Jesus has power over nature suddenly. And that freaks them out. Mm-hmm. Right? So they're afraid again. Even after Jesus says, don't be afraid, and calms the storm, they're still afraid. Now they're afraid of Jesus.
That's interesting
because, that's a couple of weeks ago now. After church, somebody had said to me, and I forget even which Sunday this was, like what the sermon was about. But somewhere in that, I must have said something about the word fear and how we understand fear and fear of God. And, what they said was that, you know, when they were a little kid, they were always being taught about how they were supposed to fear God. I immediately said, yes, but it says that in the Bible because in the Bible it doesn't necessarily always mean be afraid. It means to fear is to be in awe of, right? Of the awe of the wonder of God, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, I know that, but if you keep using the word fear, it says fear eventually, right?
Yeah.
No matter how you want to interpret it, air quotes,
Especially it's to still a child, fear. If you're being
and if it's a little kid, yeah, the line is very fine between awesome and fearsome, right? It's a very thin line. And like when you use the example like the hail on the vehicle kind of thing, and especially if it's big and it's like it's thumping and it's that can be awe-inspiring and it can scare the bejesus out of you. It's a fine line between those two things. And whether it's awe-inspiring and you want to go, ooh, cool, or whether you're afraid of it and you want to freak out a little bit, you still need to be calm enough to move through it, right? And that's I think that's the point of the story, is that it's not about getting stuck on the lake. It's about getting to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
However you interpret the miracle, it's still about getting to the other side.
Yeah.
It's part of the journey to the other side. I think understanding that what it's really all about is not that we don't have things to fear, but that when Jesus says don't be afraid, what he means is calm yourself the way mm-hmm. I calmed the storm, right? And that way you can engage the world around you in a meaningful way and make it to the other side, whatever that is. However you're going to get through this, you are going to get through this, and you are going to get to the other side.
Yeah, that's such an important reminder, especially where we're at in global politics right now.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned also just as structures are changing within the United Church of Canada right now, we are crossing over very uncertain waters and sometimes uncharted territory, uncharted waters, and there's a lot to be uncertain of. So
yeah,
that's a really powerful reminder. Thank you, Robin. We're going to wrap it up there. And as always, check out other episodes of this podcast by going to risingspiritministry.com. Thanks for joining us today. Robin, thank you.
Thanks, Ben.